Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Prodigy by Nicole Rose. Narrated by Megan Kelly and Tyler Darby. Chapter 1. Scarlet.
I need books.
Then you came to the right place. Welcome to Gatsby Books, I say, glancing up from the stack of graphic novels and comics in my arms. Only instead of looking into the face of whoever owns that sexy growl, I find myself smiling in welcome at a black t-shirt stretched tight across a broad chest. I crane my head back and promptly crack it against the shelf behind me. Ouch! I let go of the books, which scatter around me like the wreckage of some anime accident. Boom! Pow! Zap! The Marvel and DC universes intermingle with Preacher, Diabolik, Monstrous, Dragon Ball Z, and The Invisibles. I think there may even be tentacle porn in the stack. Maddie, my boss, does the ordering, though I don't think she meant to order that last one.
Shit, are you okay?
Holy guacamole! I gape first at the mess of comics and graphic novels strewn across the growly customer's black boots, and then at said growly customer, the bump on my head long forgotten. We get a lot of people through here since the shop opened, but none of them look like him. If Clark Kent and Jax Teller had a baby, it'd be this man. There's something both nerdy and wicked about him. He reminds me of those ridiculously hot actors hired to play a geek in some TV show. Only the role fits him like he was born for it. He's got muscles for days, and even though he's standing a step below me, he's a good 6 inches taller than me, and I'm in freaking heels. Thick black glasses frame the prettiest green eyes I've ever seen. They're so dark, they're almost black. His eyes, I mean. A day's worth of stubble surrounds his full lips. Beautiful black tattoos run up and down his muscular arms in intricate seams. The nosy part of me wants to pull his shirt up to see those hidden from view. The rest of me wants to pull it up to see the rest of him. Heavens to Betsy, he's gorgeous.
Jesus,
he rumbles, staring at me with this expression that's all twisted up into beautiful confusion. His eyes run over my face and then skim down my body, lingering on my breasts for just a beat. Not long enough to be disrespectful, but long enough for his nostrils to flare and his irises to darken. So does his expression.
I haven't even been drinking the fucking water in this town.
I've no idea what he means by that, but when I glance down, I realize I was right about the tentacle porn. The novel on top of his right boot is spread open. There are tentacles everywhere, doing things no one should see outside of the privacy of their own homes. And the lady looks like she's in heaven. The situation isn't even remotely funny, but I laugh anyway. I can't help it. I meet the hottest man on the planet, give myself a concussion, assault him with tentacle porn, and get myself fired all on the same day? And he's worried about the water in this town? Of course this happens to you, Scarlet. His gaze shoots back up to mine. I quickly clamp a hand over my mouth, trying to stifle my laughter. I'm sorry, I gasp. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Please don't look down. Naturally, he looks down. I said don't look down, I cry, kicking the novel, book gods, please forgive me, in a desperate attempt to hide it from his gaze. It's already too late for that, though.
Jesus H. Christ,
he whispers, bending down to snatch it up. He opens it like a newspaper in front of his face, makes a choked sound, and then lowers it to look at me over the top.
He has 8 cocks.
I'm pretty sure those aren't penises, I whisper, blushing beet red. He lifts the book up in front of his face again, turns it around, examines it for a minute, and then makes another choked sound before quickly slamming it shut.
"You're right,"
he mutters, rolling it up and shoving it into his back pocket.
"Those aren't dicks. Those are definitely not dicks."
The tips of his ears turn red. Oh my goodness. This gorgeous hulk of a man is actually blushing. He reaches up to rub the back of his neck, his eyes lingering on my face. "You look like you want to flee," I whisper.
"So do you."
A sheepish grin spreads across his face. "I just assaulted you with tentacle porn." My cheeks are so red, they're flaming. I press my hands to them, hoping that'll cool them down. "For the record, it isn't mine. I wasn't buying it. I wasn't reading it, either." I huff out of breath. "What I'm trying to say is that I work here." Maddie and Allie recently opened the bookstore and are still learning the ins and outs of book purchasing. It's a big job. Before I moved to Silver Spoon Falls to take care of my elderly aunt, I was an elementary school librarian. Now, I help out around here. They do the heavy lifting, I keep the place tidy, help customers find what they need, and then check them out when they're done. "Okay, and read all the dirty books when no one else is looking. What's the fun of working in a bookstore if you don't read all the dirty books?" "Exactly. I'm a 24-year-old virgin who can't even speak to men without turning the same general shade as a tomato. A girl's got to get her thrill somewhere."
"But you know it's called tentacle porn."
I splutter, searching for any explanation that doesn't make me look like a crazy person, and then his deep chuckle rolls over me, and I realize he's just teasing me. "Oh, so you think you're funny," I growl, planting my hands on my hips. "I almost choked on my own tongue."
"At least it wasn't a..."
"Don't you say it," I hiss, practically squirming in humiliation. He's way too hot to be this cute, too. "I can never unsee what I just saw, and it's all your fault."
"How the fuck is this my fault?"
He folds his arms across his chest, his eyes narrowing behind his glasses.
"I just came in to buy books."
"You distracted me," I mumble, leaving out the part about him distracting me by being hot. He's already got enough dirt on me for a lifetime, and I don't even know his name. Knowing I need to get myself together, I kneel to start gathering up the mess at our feet. Only he seems to have the same idea because he kneels at the exact same moment. We bump into each other. I'm clumsy on a good day, and today is not one of those. I land sprawled across the bottom step with him kneeling at my feet in a sea of comic books. His dark head comes up, his eyes locked on mine. For a long moment, neither of us moves. I'm not sure I even breathe. My stomach flips and spins, and then does it again, putting on an Olympics-worthy performance. My heart thuds against my breastbone so hard, I'm sure he probably hears it.
"The fucking water,"
he mutters again, those gorgeous green eyes writing entire volumes without a single word passing his lips.
"What's your name, pretty baby?"
"Scarlett Crawford."
"Scarlett Crawford,"
he repeats.
"I'm Finn Taylor."
"Cool," I whisper, making him smile.
"You aren't from around here."
"How do you know?" His lips tip up into a little boy smile that makes my stomach quiver.
"I know everything about this town, Scarlett Crawford from Gatsby Books. It's what I do."
"What you do?" Confusion furrows my brows and wrinkles my nose. "What does that mean? Are you a historian or something?" He laughs quietly.
"Not quite. I own a computer security business."
"Oh." I frown as something tickles at the back of my mind. When I moved to town to help take care of my Aunt Ophelia a few months ago, she insisted on telling me everything there is to know about everyone who lives in Silver Spoon Falls. I think she mentioned something about this man. Only, she made him sound like a super spy who spends all his time locked in a secret lab doing super secret spy things for ungodly amounts of money. If this is the same man, my aunt left out about 5 million pertinent details. Because this man is way hotter than I expected. He's also doing crazy things to my insides. And I just assaulted him with tentacle porn. Awesome. Please tell me you aren't the super spy genius my aunt told me about. I groan.
Super spy genius?
He cocks a brow and chuckles. You are, aren't you?
No,
he says, slowly gathering up the books I dropped. I think he does it more to avoid looking at me than anything. He's buying himself time to think through his answer.
Technically, spying entails gathering intelligence or information in secret, generally without permission. My clients pay me very well to hack into their shit.
I groan again, burying my face in my hands. He's definitely the super spy Aunt Ophelia told me about. And she definitely left out all the juicy bits of information. We are so discussing her gossip when I get home today. If she's going to do it, she should at least be good at it. I showed a bazillionaire tentacle porn, I mumble. I am so getting fired.
Baby,
Finn laughs.
You aren't getting fired.
I peel my hands away from my eyes to peer at him over the top of them. I'm pretty sure that if we had an employee manual, this would be item number one on the do not do list.
I think this might be the first time an employee manual ever needed an item for this situation, pretty baby.
He says, and then immediately grimaces.
Shit, I'm not helping, am I?
I shake my head.
How about I make you a deal?
If it involves forgetting this ever happened and never speaking of it again, sold. I cry. He laughs loudly.
Fuck, you're cute.
My eyes nearly pop out of my head.
I said that out loud, didn't I?
He cocks his head to the side and then shrugs.
Fuck it. It's true. You're cute as hell, Scarlett Crawford from Gatsby Books.
Thanks. I whisper, not sure what else to say. You make my girly bits happy is probably overkill, right? Right. There's a reason I prefer men in dirty books to real men. I don't have to talk to men in dirty books. Words and I aren't friends, especially when I have to speak them to men. I'm not shy. I'm just a mess. I've been a mess my entire life. When I was a little girl, my mom swore I'd grow out of it. Except, I never did. I was shy and awkward all the way through high school. I've also been curvy my whole life. I promised myself that college would be different, and then my mom and dad died when our house burned down my freshman year. And I found out I was adopted. They never told me. Trying to deal with losing them and process the fact that I was adopted at the same time made me feel alone in so many ways. I withdrew from college for the semester and kind of shut down for a while. By the time my best friend Natalia dragged me back into the land of the living, an entire year had passed. I threw myself into getting my life and education back on track, and then into starting my career at the library. There's always been something to throw myself into other than dating. Like Aunt Ophelia. As soon as I got settled at the library, she got sick. So now I'm here taking care of her. And I'm as curvy and awkward as ever. Books I understand. Men? Well, men are harder to figure out. I think I want to figure out Finn, though. Something about him soothes me. It makes me ache at the same time. Talking to him is mildly terrifying, and equally as exhilarating. I don't want to flee to the back room and hide. I want to stay right here. No one ever makes me feel that way. What's your deal?
You sell me every board book you have about princesses. I'll make the tentacle porn disappear.
He negotiates.
No one will ever know it happened.
I eye him skeptically. You want board books on princesses?
My friend's baby girl is obsessed with books and princess shit,
he says with a shrug.
I need to win her first birthday, so I'm her favorite.
You need to win her birthday? A smile tugs at my lips, his confession tugging at my heartstrings. This ridiculously hot man is trying to win a little girl's birthday to be her favorite. Oh my goodness. I am so giving Aunt Ophelia an earful when I get home today. She left out all the juicy parts about this man.
It'll piss my brothers off.
I have a feeling his brothers don't have anything to do with it, but I don't say that. Instead, I point out where the stack of books in his arms belongs, wait for him to deposit them safely on the shelf, and then lead him to the children's section. It might be my imagination or wishful thinking. Both, probably, but I practically feel his eyes locked on my ass as we dodge between shelves and displays of books. These are all the board books we have in... Oh, I whisper when I turn and run right into his broad chest. I take a quick step back, tripping over the thick rug Maddie placed on the floor for the kids to crawl around on.
Shit,
Finn growls, grasping me around the waist. He yanks me forward, causing me to topple into him. I land against him with a little cry of alarm that quickly fades to a soft moan as his arms close around me in the world's greatest hug. He smells like expensive cologne and leather. It's a deadly combination. 1,000 butterflies kick into flight in my stomach, dancing Swan Lake. My girly bits join the ballet, arousal flooding my system in a rush of heat. I gasp in shock as electricity rolls through me, turning my nipples to hard points.
Fuck.
Finn growls.
You smell good.
You can't say that in the children's section.
I can't say you smell good?
He asks, sniffing me. No. I mean, yes. I try to untangle myself from his arms, but he growls again and wraps me up in him even deeper. I mean, you can't say that other word. Are you going to let me go so I can find your princess books?
Go out with me tonight.
I freeze. No, I don't freeze. My soul does. You mean on a date? I ask, horrified.
Fuck yeah.
He growls.
Go out with me tonight, pretty baby.
I can't do that. I duck out from beneath his arms, quickly putting space between us. Definitely not. I rapidly shake my head, my heart pounding like a war drum calling the troops to battle. It's not allowed.
Why the fuck not?
He turns a lethal scowl on me, arms crossed, feet planted apart, looking way too hot to deal with right now. I spin toward the shelves and randomly start plucking books from them, blindly shoving them toward him. He grunts as I poke him in the chest with one, and then grumbles under his breath and reluctantly takes them. My aunt needs me, I rush to say. She can't be alone. It's bad for her health. In all honesty, I'm pretty sure she's a menace to society, but I don't tell him that. I wouldn't dream of telling her that either. She may be sick, but she's feisty. She has more energy than I do most days. But if I tell him that, then I have to tell him the truth, and... No, thank you. This man does not need to know that I've never been on a date in my entire life. And he definitely doesn't need to know that the mere thought of going out with him makes me want to break out in hives. Men want women with experience, not 24-year-old virgins who spend all their time reading? Which is dumb, if you ask me. We should be enough exactly the way we are. But we never are. Not when it seems to count. I like Finn. I'd rather not go out with him, only for him to decide he's not interested later.
Then I'll bring dinner to the two of you, he says.
She can't be around people, I lie. Too much excitement isn't good for her. He eyes me skeptically.
Your aunt is Ophelia Crawford?
Yes, I say slowly.
Who lives on Drury Lane?
A smile flits across my face. I swear to God, if you make a Muffin Man joke right now...
What?
His lips pull down into a frown, his eyes narrowing. And then he realizes what he said and laughs abruptly.
Too damn cute,
he mutters, shaking his head.
I wasn't going to make a Muffin Man joke, pretty baby. I was just going to say that your aunt is banned from half the businesses in this town. How is too much excitement possibly bad for her health?
She is not, I gasp. He smirks at me. Oh my gosh, she is.
Your aunt is the excitement in this town, Scarlet Crawford.
His gaze rakes up and down my body, his eyes heating.
At least she used to be.
I squirm under the weight of his gaze.
You don't know me well yet,
he says.
So I'll let you get away with telling me no this time. But I'm not giving up on you, pretty baby. Sooner or later, you'll agree to go on that date with me.
He strides forward, stopping inches in front of me, and then dips his head, putting his lips against my ear.
I'll be dreaming about you until you do.
You will not, I whisper. He takes a step back and winks at me. Finn! No, you won't, I cry. He ignores me, striding toward the front of the store with a stack of princess board books piled in his arms, his jeans hugging his firm ass just right. Then, and only then, do I notice the Silver Spoon MC emblem emblazoned across the back of his t-shirt. Super spy Finn Taylor, nerdy genius, is also a stupid hot biker? Aunt Ophelia is so on my list. She left out all the important parts of the gossip.
Chapter 2. Finn. You're an asshole. Cormac, Giant Carmichael growls, pointing one massive finger at me across the bars of my bike. You can't just buy every board book at the shop, hacker. You're just jealous you didn't think of it first. He swaps fingers, pointing an entirely different one at me this time in a gesture that matches the scowl on his face. I just smirk. The overgrown bastard is only mad he didn't beat me to the bookstore yesterday. If he had, we both know he'd have made the same play I did. Scout Grimes had a rough start in life. She was born with a congenital heart defect in the basement of the Satan Savage's warehouse, where her mother was being held hostage for most of her pregnancy. By the time her mom escaped, her life literally hung in the balance. Tate Hans Grimes, our MC's vice president and a skilled pediatric heart surgeon, was able to save her life. Unfortunately, no one was able to save her mom. The Savages murdered her, leaving little Scout orphaned. Her aunt Samara and Hans adopted her and she's thriving, but she's still a delicate little thing. We all do our part to keep her smiling and don't apologize for it. The way I see it, after everything she's been through in her short little life, she's earned it. It's not my fault I'm her favorite, I say, taking a sip of my water. Jason Cash Montoya, our president, laughs abruptly. That's a goddamn lie if I ever heard one, he says, shaking his dark head. You buy her shit all the time. He needs to hurry the fuck up and have his own kids, Hans says, scowling at me from where he's squatted beside my bike, examining the underside of the tank. My own damn daughter would shiv me in the back for this motherfucker, and I'm supposed to be her favorite person. I take another drink of my water, not rising to the bait. Until yesterday, I would have shut that shit down quick, fast, and in a hurry. I'm the quiet brother, the resident genius who keeps my head down and gets shit done. I prefer my bike and my computers to most people. With a road stretched out before me, my bike bends to my will. Computer systems reveal their secrets at my whim. I'm in control of both. I've been the whiz kid my whole life, paraded around like a pet dog on a leash. I can't fucking stand it. People always want something from me. My bank account, my last name, to be a notch on my bedpost, buddy privileges, something. I don't remember a time in my life when it wasn't like that. As a result, I don't let many people get close. With the exception of my MC brothers, I keep them all at a distance. So marriage wasn't in the cards for me. And then Scarlett Crawford shot my plans all to hell. She's the sweetest little bookworm I've ever met. Copper waves frame her round face, and the most expressive hazel eyes I've ever seen. If there's truly a window to the soul like superstition would have us believe, her soul is the purest I've ever come across. She drips sugar and sex in a way that makes me want to glut myself on both. She's the perfect pear shape, with full breasts, a round belly, thick thighs, and a plump ass I want to sink my teeth into. Watching it twitch in her skirt had my dick thumping against my zipper like he was trying to hulk out of my jeans. Listening to her try to explain away the tentacle porn had me ready to howl with laughter. She's fucking adorable without even trying, and gives as good as she gets. I was hooked well before she told me no. The fact that she knows who I am and still told me no made me that much more determined to win her over. She actually looked horrified at the prospect of going on a date with me. I fucking love it. Don't get me wrong, I'm not thrilled that she doesn't want to date me, and I intend to find out why post-haste. I plan to marry her as soon as humanly possible. After all, I can't do that if she won't give me a chance. But the fact that she had no qualms about telling me no, I'm officially obsessed with Scarlett Crawford from Gatsby Books. Your tank looks fine to me. Hans says, rising to his feet in one fluid move.
Why are we even fucking with your bike in the first place?
Giant bitches, cocking a brow at me.
Actually, scratch that. Why are we fucking with your bike while you're drinking water like you just spent 8 years in the goddamn desert?
The throttle is sticking. I think the cable is getting bound up under the tank. Giant mutters beneath his breath and bends his head to look at the cable.
You're drinking tap water.
Cash growls, eyes narrowed in suspicion on my cup.
You never drink tap water.
Can a motherfucker be thirsty? I ask. For what, pussy? Hans retorts, making Giant snicker. Even Cash laughs. Assholes. I flip them off and take another drink. There's not a chance in hell I'm telling any of them that I switched to tap water just in case there is some truth to all their nonsense about the water in this town. They all swear it's the reason our brothers are getting hitched in record numbers. I tried to tell them it's a simple illusory correlation and nothing more. But shit, I'm beginning to think maybe they're right. Because it's not just the MC. Single men all over town are falling like dominoes. Either way, I'm hedging my bets. I've got a bookworm to win. I'll drink from every damn faucet in town if it helps me win her over any faster. But I'm not telling these assholes that. They'll never let me live it down. Besides, I have a feeling winning her over will be difficult enough without my brothers all up in my business while I do it.
You need a new cable, Giant says. Yours is shot.
Fuck, I groan. You want me to pick one up for you? I've got to swing by the shop and talk to Romero about a custom build anyway. Hans says.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?